super rich people, that is, so rich that they can buy their way into amenities units that have quietly been built into secluded sections of many hospitals. It's not medical care that they're peddling to an elite clientele, but the personal pampering that the super rich expect in all aspects of their lives. I was supposed to be in Buenos Aires last week taking tango lessons, a Wall Street executive explained matter-of-factly to a New York Times reporter, but unfortunately, I hurt my back, so I'm here with my concierge. A hospital with a concierge? Yes, this one's called 11 West, an exclusive wing of New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center. We pride ourselves on getting anything the patient wants, beamed 11 West, director of hospitality. If they have a craving for lobster tails and we don't have them on the menu, we'll go out and get them. From New York to L.A., hospitals that draw huge subsidies from us taxpayers and often are so overcrowded that regular patients are lucky to get a gurney in the hallway have set aside entire floors for $2,400 a day deluxe suites. They come with butlers, five-star meals, marble baths, imported bed sheets, special kitchens, and other amenities for swells who have both insurance and cash to burn. This is Jim Hightower saying, not only is it repugnant for the plutocratic elite to pervert healthcare into a luxury commodity, but their very effort to do so splits asunder America's essential uniting principle of the common good. To push for a national policy that treats healthcare as a fundamental human need for all, contact Physicians for a National Health Program at pnhp.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Tres Hombres Long Bar and Grill, featuring coastal Mexican cuisine reminiscent of the beach in Baja and the Yucatan, with flavors from all over Latin America. Their Long Bar offers over 120 premium, 100% blue agave tequilas, and has been voted best margarita in Chico 10 years in a row and counting. Located on the corner of 1st and Broadway in downtown Chico, Tres Hombres is open 7 days a week. And brought to you by the Bankruptcy Law Offices of Michael C. Hayes, a proud sponsor of Community Radio. Michael Hayes offers free consultations and payment plans for Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies and has been serving Northern California residents for more than 30 years. The telephone number for Michael Hayes, spelled H-A-Y-S, is 892-8916, or you can find him at mhayeslaw.com. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Robert Jones. Tonight on Non-Human Radio, animal rights heroes or animal rights terrorists? Plus Ringling Brothers, elephants give their final performances. And the vegan social media world is abuzz with the revelation that the owners of one of the most popular vegan restaurants on the West Coast are meat-eating ranchers. Can you believe that? All that plus the vegan calendar events coming up next. Jeannie.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. I've been all over the country, all over, out of the country, all over the place. Philadelphia, New York, Canada, I was everywhere. Drove through Niagara Falls,
Really?
Yeah, I didn't go under the falls, but I did go through Niagara Falls.
Oh, my. That's a part of the country I need to get up to.
You know what I did? I was invited by, there's a group at the University of Toronto. They're called the Animal Rights Academy. There's a woman there named Allison Fortowski. And they have animal rights people from all over the country come and give talks. And so I went and gave a talk.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
It was great. And I got to see Toronto, which is a great city. Now, this Animal Rights Academy thing is really cool. If you go online and just type in Animal Rights Academy, University of Toronto, they have all the talks given. They put them up on YouTube. So it's really great stuff they have. So I was really honored to be a part of that. But one of the things that happened when I was traveling was I got the flu. I've been knocked out. Today is my Lazarus day. I've recovered from the dead. I'm back from the dead. Now, I usually get, I was thinking about this, Jeannie. I usually get a flu shot, you know, a vaccination, but you know, it's interesting being an animal rights activist and getting a flu shot because you know, those vaccines are tested on animals. So
there's a vegan flu shot.
It's a vegan flu shot.
It's called Flu Block, and it's not cultured in eggs or egg whites like the other more mainstream vaccines are. So you can look into that.
Okay, I can. And I can. I wonder if I can get that like at my local drugstore. Is that something special? I'll look into it.
I've looked it up. I don't think it's like easily available, like at Walgreens or something like that. But your doctor should be able to get it for you.
Well, there you go. So I think what we should do is let's move over into our news segment. Let me throw it over to you in the non-human animal vegan newsroom. Jeannie, take it away.
Okay, here I am. I have my copy hot off the press. On Monday, Oakland-based animal rights activist Joseph Budenberg was sentenced to 2 years in federal prison for conspiracy to violate the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, IETA. The sentencing follows his signing a non-cooperating plea agreement in which he pled guilty to conspiring to free thousands of animals from fur farms throughout the United States and to cause damage to businesses associated with the fur industry. Budenberg, age 31, and his partner Nicole Kisan, age 28, were arrested in July for allegedly driving more than 40,000 miles across the U.S. to save the lives of 5,000 animals destined to become fur. According to the court records, the pair allegedly traveled as far as the East Coast, stopping along the way at fur farms in Idaho, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Montana, and Pennsylvania, freeing minks from cages while also committing various acts of vandalism against businesses, business owners, and employees in the fur industry.
So
mayhem.
Mayhem. So I'll let you finish. Is that the end? You have more to say in that news story?
No, we have some. They have legal counsel. So Rachel Miropol, who's the senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, said that I quote: "Today's sentencing must be understood in the context of the complete illegitimacy of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act." She is the lead lawyer for several constitutional challenges against this law, so she knows her stuff. And then she went on to conclude, this is a law bought and paid for by corporations that profit from the exploitation of animals in the service of nothing but their own bottom line. Prosecuting nonviolent liberation of animals as terrorism is a transparent attempt to silence an entire movement. The IETA violates fundamental constitutional principles of free speech and due process, and we will continue to challenge it wherever it is used, it meaning the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And so Kisan's, the partner's sentencing hearing is scheduled for June.
Jeannie, I think this is an important issue because, you know, this thing, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, I don't think that a lot of people even know what the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act is. And I'll tell you what it is. It was passed by under the George Bush administration in 2006. And here's what I have a little text from. Here's what it says. It says, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act prohibits any person from engaging in certain conduct for the purpose of damaging or interfering with the operations of an animal enterprise. The statute covers any act that damages or causes the loss of any real property or personal or places a person in reasonable fear of injury. So this story you're telling us about what's this guy's name again? Let me look this guy.
Joseph Buddenberg.
So Joseph Buddenberg and his partner, they drove across the country going to various fur farms and places where, that were producing, keeping animals trapped for furs for use in fur industry. And they were basically vandalizing these places.
Yes.
And they were arrested and charged as terrorists. So what people don't realize is that these acts of what I would, you know, some people see them, like this attorney as well, as these are acts of civil disobedience against animal, basically what amounts to animal slavery. These people are charged as terrorists, which, of course, is, it's increased penalties, increased sentencing.
Right. It's an enhancement of what would normally be just, not just, but it would be property damage. That's the way our laws would look at these acts of vandalism.
Right.
Misdemeanors, for the most part. And so under this act, this federal act, which, by the way, was passed by the vote of only 6 legislators,
mm-hmm.
As just under cover of being just routine business, right?
Yes.
So like you'd pass some memorial to, the state animal or something like that, where it's like just a routine, not specifically non-controversial legislation.
Right.
Instead, this act was thrown up, rushed through, and passed with only 6 6 legislators voting for it. So anyway, so it's basically an enhancement of these would normally be just state-level crimes, in my opinion, turning them into federal crimes.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's just an aside is to note that when it went up for a vote in the Senate in 2006, Dennis Kucinich, he protested on the floor of the Senate and walked out in protest. So good for Dennis Kucinich. But so basically, here's a situation. So, for example, you have and I don't think that many people realize the kind of lives and the deaths of animals used for fur. The way that animals, they're kept in these animals, like, for example, people think of like a mink coat or fox. These animals are kept in cages. They're treated terribly. And then the methods of execution are just, they're kind of, they're horrendous. And all of that to produce a fur coat or some kind of fur trim. So basically, but it's not just fur. I mean, this is the case. These two, it's the case of fur. But the law is pretty broad in that anything that, say, an animal rights activist, and just to give some backstory, in 2005, the head of the FBI said that, you know, the number one terrorist organization in the United States is animal rights activists. So you have all these animals who are in these terrible conditions, enslaved in these horrible, horrendous conditions, and people who want to do acts of civil disobedience or free them, or even if here's one of the thing the Animal Enterprise Terror Act says: if you're protesting, say, outside of a farrier, and the farrier fears for their personal safety, then you have caused them to feel they would be injured, and you can be charged. So it's really a dampening of free speech. It's definitely it's a pretty un-American act, I would say.
Right, because what happens is an activist will just decide not to risk it. So it's a complete dampening of the actions of activists who would want to, say, mount a protest.
Mm-hmm.
They will. You won't even hear about it. They'll silently choose not to have that
right
action.
Well, maybe when Jill Stein is elected president, she'll overturn that. So what else we have in the news tonight, Jeannie?
Next we have Ringling Brothers. Six Asian elephants that had been kept in slavery by Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus gave their final performances on Sunday in Providence, Rhode Island. 5 elephants also performed their final show earlier that day in a Ringling Brothers show in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And after Sunday's performance, the one in Rhode Island, the animals will live at Ringling's 200-acre Center for Elephant Conservation in Florida, said Alana Feld, executive vice president of Feld Entertainment, which owns the circus and the elephants. Its herd of 40 Asian elephants, the largest in North America, will continue a breeding program and be used in a pediatric cancer research project.
Well, Jeannie, can I interrupt here for a moment? So I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Animal rights activists, this is definitely a victory, ending the exploitation and basically slavery of elephants who are treated barbarically to get them. When you see elephants doing things like standing on two legs or doing all these tricks, that takes a lot of beating into submission to do that. But you mean to tell me they're liberating these elephants and they're going to go be used for cancer research after this, all this? That's their fate?
Evidently, yeah. And if you look at the numbers, like if we're just looking at the numbers just in this story, 40 elephants on 200 acres, that is not very much space for an elephant. And I'll just go on to say, you talked about barbaric practices required to train elephants to perform circus tricks. Mm-hmm. I would say to keep any animal the size of an elephant in captivity, you need to use tactics to do that,
mm-hmm.
Unless you have a strict no-contact type of containment, which is something like the Performing Animal Welfare Society uses. But otherwise, if you're going to be hands-on or near these elephants, you're going to have to use...
Well, you always hear about bull hooks.
Yep.
What's a bull hook for people who don't know what that is?
Yeah, that's a... I would say it's probably a 12-inch size piece of metal with a hook on the end, and it's used to terrorize baby elephants, basically. You may never see a trainer use it directly on an animal if the public has any access to a line of sight. But that tool was used on that elephant when he or she was little, and it's used behind the scenes.
It's terrible.
To ensure cooperation and compliance. The Humane Society says that more than a dozen circuses in the United States continue to use elephants, but none tour as widely or as well known as Ringling Brothers. According to Ronald Tobias, author of the 2013 book Behemoth, The History of Elephants in America, quote, people no longer see elephants as circus performers, but as sentient animals that are capable of a full range of human emotions, end quote. According to Tobias, as attitudes have changed, people are more interested in seeing elephants in a natural habitat such as a sanctuary rather than in a circus or a zoo.
Well, Jeannie, this is another topic that I'm sure we're going to cover on some show in the future, but I think this is ironic that this guy says are interested in seeing elephants in a natural habitat such as a sanctuary. So now sanctuaries are considered natural habitats for elephants? I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Have we come to that place?
Yeah, really, indeed. Yeah.
How about elephants in their own habitat? And you basically, you don't have to bring them into some kind of sanctuary.
Yeah, I agree that it would be, every dollar spent on a zoo would be far better spent conserving their natural environment, whether it's in Africa or in Asia, or supporting somehow the elimination of, like, say, poaching,
mm-hmm.
or use of these animals in as beasts of burden.
Yes. Well, Jeannie, for those of people who are just tuning in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM Chico and worldwide at KZFR.org. Jeannie, do we have any other news stories?
We do. The California-based husband and wife founders of celebrity-endorsed vegan restaurant group Cafe Gratitude say that they have received death threats after it was revealed last week that they are raising, slaughtering, and eating animals on their farm north of San Francisco. Matthew and Tarsus Engelhart, both in their 60s, who opened the first Cafe Gratitude in 2004 and whose celebrity followers have included Gwyneth Paltrow, Beyoncé, and Sacha Baron Cohen, countered the firestorm of criticism with a defense of the, quote, regenerative agriculture, end quote, methods they now use on their Bee Love farm in Vacaville, calling it a personal choice made in the privacy of their home.
Jeannie, hold on a second. let me wrap my mind around this. So Cafe Gratitude, you've been to Cafe Gratitude, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all vegan. And I think a lot of it is even, if I remember, it's kind of like a raw food. They have a lot of raw food options.
Right.
And they're very kind of spiritual. It's a very California spiritual. The names of their dishes are like, like in loving kindness and things like this.
Right.
So the owners, these two owners who started Cafe Gratitude, a vegan restaurant, you're telling me they're raising cattle, they're ranchers in Vacaville?
That is evidently what they've been, farming for quite some time, and I'm not sure exactly when, sometime in 2015, they started to eat the animals that they raised. And I'll just add that the blowback on this news in the vegan community has not just been on Cafe Gratitude. I'm going to just, they also own a restaurant called Gracias Madre. It gets complicated. They don't exactly own these, but they started them. Or their kids or siblings own them.
Right.
And they also obtain produce, not meat, not yet maybe, but produce from this beloved farm, like butternut squash and stuff. So anyway, right. So the other restaurants that have been seeing blowback from this are Sage Bistro, which is in Los Angeles.
I was just there.
Yeah, it's okay. And
not great.
Then also the big one, which I really like, is Gracias Madre, which is a vegan Mexican
restaurant. I love Gracias Madre.
Yeah. So I just wanted to expand the scope of this. So yeah. So they have a quote from their blog. So they call it a personal choice made in the privacy of their home, and yet it's out there in public because it's on a blog for their farm. Okay.
Yeah, Jeannie, can I say a couple things? First of all, I know we live in social media world, but yeah, these people are confused. When you have a personal decision and you put it on the internet, they're misunderstanding the term personal decision. Number one, anything you put on the internet is not personal. Number two, I think it's interesting to couch raising cattle and slaughtering cattle and eating meat as a personal decision. I know a lot of people think, and this happens, you know, you and I have had this conversation where when you're a vegetarian or a vegan and people say, well, you have your own personal choice and I have my personal choice. But I don't think that is a personal choice when you're raising and slaughtering a sentient being. That involves the death of a sentient being. That's not a personal choice. It's if I abuse my child, that's not a personal choice. There's a being who's being abused at the other end of it. So this whole language of personal choice, I think it's a bunch of malarkey.
I agree. Shall we go on?
Yeah, I love to hear what else they have to say.
So this is a quote from Matthew Englehart, who said, "We started to observe nature, and what we saw is that nature doesn't exist without animals." And this is what he told The Hollywood Reporter last week after this all started exploding. It's funny. The first blog post appeared in 2015. Animal rights activists dug it up recently and started circulating blog entries from their blog, which is about their farm and the seasons changing. The items that were included on their blog included photos of a freezer full of pastured beef, jars of gravy, and most egregiously for me was Matthew himself, who'd been a longtime vegetarian, enjoying a hamburger, right? And that's after 40 years of vegetarianism.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. This is an example of bad faith, what my friend John Sabon-Matsu writes about. This is bad faith. If he would just come out and instead of saying it's a personal choice, say I want to eat meat because I miss the taste of meat, at least he'd be intellectually honest. But he's deceiving himself here, big time.
And then Matthew Englehart went on to say, "People have taken up the mob mentality." This is after protesters gathered outside their restaurants, holding signs such as saying that "quote No animal is grateful to die," which is that's. In response to a statement in his blog saying that the animals were sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
right? Facebook just exploded with this. There was a Facebook boycott page for the restaurants. They were on Yelp. They got tons of one-star reviews.
Good.
Yelp eventually closed down the page, though. They mm-hmm. put it on hiatus. Their restaurant pages, they do that as a matter of course when things go viral for restaurants. And then here's actually the quote from Matthew. "Cows make an extreme sacrifice for humanity, but that is their position in God's plan as food for the predators," he said in a statement about their decision. "We can be part of that sacrament."
Oh, God, don't even get me started. So he had to go to it's God's plan. Yeah, the cows, it's God's plan that he's butchering cows, raising cows.
Right. I mean, at some level, there is an element of land stewardship and kind of restoring the natural grazers to what is a grassland.
Right.
I can see that. I just don't see that that care for the land has to end with you slaughtering your companion in this effort to restore the land.
Right. No, he just wants to eat meat. That's basically, he should just come out and say it. Well, Jeannie, I'd like to talk more about this, but we're kind of running out of time. In case you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, California. Let's see if we can squeeze in something from our calendar of events. Jeannie, over to you again.
I am really pleased to say that on this Saturday, May 7th, the Vegan Red Bluff Group is holding its first meetup. This is Red Bluff, where you have the Red Bluff Roundup, right?
The Red Bluff Roundup. What's the Red Bluff Roundup? I've heard of the Red Bluff Roundup. What is that?
That's one of the hugest cattle auctions, at least on the West Coast.
So in Red Bluff, the home of the Red Bluff Roundup, there's animal rights activity going on?
Yep. They'll be holding a meet and greet at the From the Hearth Cafe in Red Bluff from 3 to 4:30 p.m.
Now, that's a meet and greet. That's not a meet, greet, and eat.
No, it's not like, the celebration of the pig that Dave has had.
Yes. Okay.
And so, and I had the pleasure of meeting the two organizers a couple of months ago at the Chico Vegan Potluck, Jill and Jessica, and they're just dynamic young.
Great.
They're going to do good things. I'm really happy that a vegan community is sprouting up in more towns in the North State.
Excellent.
So, I have more if you want, but
go more, okay, do more. Great. Let's hear more.
Also on May 7th, Animal Place in Grass Valley is hosting a wonderful Mother's Day vegan brunch, followed by a tour of the sanctuary and another meet and greet. Yay!
A real meet and greet.
But with the rescued residents there, and they have all sorts of species of critters there that you can get to know as
go Animal
individuals.
Place.
I know
Animal Place.
Is great.
They're always doing something interesting, and they have good outreach to the community to these kinds of ambassador animals they have there.
Yeah.
I really strongly recommend people go online and look up Animal Place. It's right in our backyard. So
the other big thing that happened with Animal Place, and then I'll close it down, is Patrick McConnell, who's the cartoonist who draws the Mutts comics and is really animal-friendly, really sweet. He endorsed their Food for Thought program. And if you remember on one of our first interviews with Jonathan Hussein from Animal Place,
good old Jonathan,
coordinator of the Food for Thought campaign, which in a nutshell asks, enjoins humane societies and other animal shelters to have meat-free meals at their fundraisers.
Awesome. Good work. Good organization.
Yeah. Animal Place is innovative, and they're always pushing, so I like them.
Do we have one more calendar
event
we can squeeze in?
Yeah, this one will be great because this one involves you.
Really?
So the Chico Animal Rights and Education Series will meet again on Tuesday, May 10th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Chico State's Trinity Hall in room 126. And I'll just note, all these events will be posted to the show notes on the blog at nonhumanradio.com. The CARES reading this month, I'm really excited, is an excerpt from Carol J. Adams' groundbreaking book on the sexual politics of meat, a feminist vegetarian critical theory. It sounds like a lot of highfalutin words, but this reading is going to be from chapter 2, and we'll be exploring the idea of the absent referent. Do you want to give
Look, Carol J. Adams is a pioneer in ecofeminism, and she's going to talk about, she has an amazing presentation, but her argument is going to talk about the relationship between the objectification and commodification and sexualization of women's bodies and the animal bodies in our culture, and her notion of the absent referent, which is it's basically an anchor idea in animal rights theory, is that we replace the animal body is replaced, is absent. The actual animal itself is replaced by terms we use or illustrations we use. And so it distances us from the actual object. So, if you're interested, when is that again? Tuesday night? Can you repeat our time and place?
Tuesday, May 10th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Chico State in Trinity Hall 126.
Come one, come all.
Everyone is welcome, meat eaters and vegetarians. And a link to the reading will be posted on the show notes.
Well, if you have an event you'd like included in our weekly calendar events, send an email to nonhumanradio@gmail.com. Jeannie, it looks like it's another show, and end of another show, but not before our animal rights subversive thought of the week. What do you have for us?
Our animal rights subversive thought of the week comes from Leo Tolstoy, who wrote, "As long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields."
Gee, he was a brilliant man. That is, unfortunately, that is so true. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks to our engineer today, Jan Bildfeldt.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are entirely those of the hosts and do not in any way reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board,